You know, this is something it took me a long time to get out. People don't think that God is in control. So we really don't realize who is in control. And when I say, how many of you believe God will make you sick? Nobody thinks God will make me sick. But let me tell you, before the day's over today, I'm going to trust that you're going to have a different idea from the Word about what I'm going to teach you. And so it is a mouthful. I'll have to say, years ago, it was very difficult for me to comprehend some of the things that I teach today. But I learned all these things in God's Word. And if I learned them in His Word, and it's in the Word, and we do what He says, He'll do what He says, won't He? So let's start off at Exodus 23. First start with verse 18. Exodus 23:18, "Thou shalt not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning." How many of you have ever been in a church that when you take communion, they use leavened bread? You ever been in a church where they use leavened bread? What do you do with this? What did God say? Verse 18, "You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread." One time, there was a church that I went to for years over here in Louisville. And that pastor, he used, at least he got into the habit for some reason, I don't know why, using a loaf of French bread. And so one time he was using the loaf of bread, had it on a communion table, right in the middle of the communion table, and he's over here walking around talking about the bread. And he turned and he looked at the table, and all of a sudden that loaf of French bread just rolled over to the edge and fell off on the floor. And when it fell off on the floor, the Lord spoke to him audibly and said, "You're doing what I have told you not to do." He said, I didn't know what was going on. He said, "I looked there for a minute. I thought what I heard God say. I saw that loaf of bread laying on the floor. And I thought, what do I do now?" So he said, "I didn't know what to do." So he said, "I just started over." He said, "I was sitting up there." He had 500 people out in front of him. And he said, "So I just started back. You know, okay, let's talk about the bread." And he said, "I started talking about the bread again. And when I did, the king spoke again and says, 'You're doing again what I just told you not to do.'" He said, "At this point, I didn't know nothing to do except fall on my face and say, 'Lord, what am I doing wrong?'" And, of course, right before 500 people, they're not hearing what he's hearing. They're all wondering. Well, they saw this, and one of the men that was in that meeting one day told me, he said, "Thurman," and, of course, I had already left that church and come out here to Justin. He said, "Thurman, you'd be amazed what happened at Lakeland last Sunday." I said, "What happened?" And he said, "Well, Pastor was preaching, and the leavened bread rolled from the center of the table like the wind was blowing it or something and fell off on the floor." He said, "I ain't never seen nothing like that in my life." But he said, "It happened." And he said, he told me what happened, how the pastor fell on his face and cried out to God and everything. I thought, boy, that's unique, so I'm going to call him. So I called him. In fact, see, when I got around to calling, it was 3 months later. 3 months later, I called him and I said, "Ben, I said, somebody told me about what happened in your church about the bread rolling off. I said, would you tell me about it?" He said, "Sure." He said, "In fact, I've got it written down, Thurman. I'll fax you a copy of this thing." I said, "Well, tell me. I want to know out of your mouth. I want to hear it." So he told me about how he's teaching about the bread. And he said, how this loaf of bread rolled off on the floor. And I thought, loaf of bread rolled off on the floor? So I really didn't get anything else he said for a little while, and so I slept on that, and the next morning I called him back and I said, "You know, I got to know, how in the world did a sheet of unleavened bread roll off on the floor?" He said, "My lands, that's what the Lord was talking about." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I didn't have a sheet of unleavened bread. I had a loaf of leavened bread. That's what he meant." Now, 3 months later after this happened, when I called him, and talked to him the second time, did God reveal to him what he was talking about. You're using a loaf of leavened bread and mixing it with my blood, and I told you in my law not to do that. It took him all that time to pick up on it. Now, was that a sin? Sure it was. So if you're in a church, you write this down, Exodus 23:18. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread. I mean, is that what that says? So then what are you supposed to use when you take communion? Unleavened bread. That's exactly right. A sheet of unleavened bread is to be broken. Now, there's a lot of different people make different little biscuits and all kinds of stuff that are unleavened. Some of them are those little bitty things. We used to use those in the Baptist church. I didn't think there was anything else in the world until I got out of the Baptist church. And then I found out, hey, that's not even Jewish bread. You know, I don't know where we come up with that, but I guess it's okay. It was unleavened. But I found out now we use matzah, you know, the real stuff. Unleavened bread. It's got stripe, pierced, and everything. I want to be as close to make God happy as I possibly can, don't you? I don't want to put the king to the test. I don't like to make God mad, because when he gets upset with me, I've learned that he does things I don't like makes me sick. And I don't want to be sick, and I'll show you before we go on. But he says, you shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until the morning.
If I said that to somebody in the circle, some of the circles I run, they'd say, that's the Old Testament and we're not under that law anymore. It doesn't matter because we're under grace.
Oh, let me tell you something about that. This is something else. We're only under grace as long as we're obeying all of his rules under the new covenant. The minute you step out of love, you fall from grace and you fall back under the law. And there's not very many people walking in love. You know, so when people think, I misunderstood that for years. I read that in Galatians chapter 5 over and over and over, for Paul says, if you even think about sinning, you fell from grace. Wow. I used to think, did I lose my salvation if I fall from grace? You know, no, I just fell from that grace which I can walk in when I walk in love. Now, the only time you can walk in faith, and without walking in faith, you can see God do very few miracles, very few healings.
That's right.
You know, now, I walked as a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher and deacon 40 plus years. And never saw God answer a prayer. You know, I mean, has anybody else in here experienced what I experienced, that you've been a Christian for many, many years and you never saw a real mighty answer to your prayer? Well, now that's where I walk. Did I love God? Do you love God? Oh, yes. Did I go to church? Yes. Did I tithe? Yes. Did I try to do everything that pleased the king? I tried. Well, then why did he answer my prayer? There was an ingredient missing, and it's called faith. Now, I felt like at that time I was walking in the God kind of love, because I was trying to love everybody. But I had not stepped over into that bold world of faith. Now, you can miss any one of these ingredients, and it don't work. I think about Kathy. She was telling me yesterday about a young man by the name of James Dietzman. I say young. James is as old as I am, but he's still a young man. But James was a member, and still is a member, of the Baptist Church in Justin. I mean, a great Christian man. But a few years ago, James, which also a cowboy, in fact, he's the one that owns all these Longhorns out here on our place, but I let him use this place for his cattle, because I don't have time to use it. But anyway, James came to me years ago, and he said, Thurman Friday, I bulldogged a steer, and or roped him, whatever it did, or jumped off to get him or whatever, and jabbed his hand into the ground and broke his wrist. And he said, it hurt me. He said, you know I'm a man of faith, and I didn't go to the doctor till Saturday. But by Saturday, my hand was hurting so bad, he said, I went to the doctor, and they x-rayed it, and it's broken. And I told the doctor, now that I know what's wrong with it, I got a man at church. I'm going to have him pray for me tomorrow. And so that's me. And so the next day, Sunday when James came to church. He sat on the very back row and waited till I came in after my Sunday school class, because my Sunday school class always went to the end. And then I would come in. It would usually already be singing. So James would be on the back row. He was on the back row. When I walked in, he was looking for me. And when he saw me come down that aisle, he run back and said, "Thurman," he said, "you got to pray for me." I said, "What's wrong with you?" He said, "I broke my wrist Friday. Went to the doctor yesterday and they checked it." I said, "Well, why don't you go down and have the pastor pray for you?" He said, "There's too much unbelief." He said, "I want you to pray for me." I said, "Okay." I said, "Let's go down front and do it." He said, "No, there's too much unbelief down there. Let's go back in the library where there ain't nobody but you and me." I said, "Okay." So we start back into the library and we get back here. And I said, "Do your hand hurt?" He said, "It's killing me. It's hurting bad." "Stand up here, Frank. You be James for me." I reached up and I took his hand and he said, "It's hurting." I said, "You know you got to have faith to get healed." He said, "You pray for me, I know it's done." I said, "Bam!" Right on that sore hand where he said, "It hurts like..." I said, "It's healed in the name of Jesus." And instantly the pain went away and God healed that wrist. Right there. Now, see, that's the kind of faith you got to have to make God's word work. You know, you can't say, "I hope it will work. Maybe it will work. I'll have Thurman pray for me, and then tomorrow I'll go back to the doctor and have it checked and see if it's healed." Ain't no faith in that, is there, Frank? No. But is that the way we normally do things? We have to have a doctor tell us instead of God's word. When God tells us something, He expects us to believe Him. And I didn't. And that's where I lived as a Christian. And that's why I never got to see God do anything miraculous. But when I stepped into this world of faith, wow, has it been an awesome walk with God. Wow. Have I seen the King do some wonderful things? I've seen so many miracles and so many healings now, I don't even remember them. I couldn't. It's into the thousands. The miracles are into the hundreds now. But the healings are into the thousands. So, I mean, what happened? I stepped into a new world.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.